tonight. We're going to be going live here in just a moment on the video. If you have any questions tonight as we go through this process, please text me at 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. We're just a couple of moments away from being ready to start, so bear with us just for a moment. Welcome. Okay, we're going to go live now, everyone. Okay, just one moment and we'll be going live. Okay, we are starting our broadcast and starting the recording. And I think we are all set for this evening. How exciting. It is great to be with all of you this evening. Thank you for being a part of the Tuesday night celebration of life. Excuse my voice just for a moment. It's good to be with you. We're going to take on a very important topic this evening. I'll do my very best to show up for you. It's so good to be here tonight with this little bit of sleep. I'm going to share with you a story in just a moment about last week. It is now part of the book. As many of you know, a week ago last Sunday, after being in Coronado for Kevin Hall's Genshai Life Mastery, I was lying in bed at 10:30 at night and had this overwhelming impression that I needed to take 70 pages out of the book, 70 pages. It was just too long. I just saw it. It's all laid out. It's all proofed. It's all ready to go to the printer. Just wasn't right. So I started writing and wrote through that night and coached the next day and into the next night and started having some interesting experiences. There are two or three things in this book that were not here in the last edit, which were very important. And we did take 70 pages out, which is miraculous. And now it's being relayed out, all ready for the printer, and very excited to be at this stage in the process. For those of you who are visiting with us for the first time, we meet every Tuesday night for an hour, and we talk about those things that matter most in terms of creating success in our lives. And we cycle through the six qualities of an intentional creator. We've been through quality one, connecting with people. We've learned how to step into a person's world and take down walls of resistance. And hopefully you're practicing being good listeners. Then we talked for 2 weeks about how to use our mind constructively. Not going there today, not going that fantasy and that catastrophe. I'm staying in creation. And when we do, we receive or manifest inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges that will ignite parts of our brain we normally don't use. They're normally dormant. It ignites our passion. Now we bring that passion into the here and now, and we talk about quality number three tonight, and I have a text. Dave, how do you get out of your head and stay in the here and now in time of stress? Oh my goodness, yes. Well, I'm going to give you the very best I can tonight. And I'll tell you that next week, we're going to take on that specific noise in our head that's present, especially when we are in stress. But I'm going to give you some clues. I'm going to start by reading something to you that was written last Tuesday night. After we finished this call, I went back to writing. Had a couple hours of sleep so far that week since Saturday night. And I was getting tired. And I started to think about this idea of staying present in the now. And for our text that came in, see if this can't address a little piece of your issue, particularly when we're in stress, because that's the time when it just wants to yank us over in there. And what we know is if we go for 10 minutes It's going to put us in that dark dungeon of despair. We're going to have cortisol coursing through our body. Got that lightning bolt. We know that we're going to have fear dendrites. Our fight or flight center is going to shut down our prefrontal cortex right here behind our forehead. Our higher levels of consciousness, our empathy, our ability to communicate with people, our practical judgment, our ability to make common sense decisions. That part of our brain shut down so that all the energy we use in this very energy-rich part of our brain is centralized in the fight or flight. Can you feel that? When you're hit with stress, it's like, I want to flee or I want to fight. Just, ah! We also know that our hippocampus, our memory center, is closed off. It's shut down like a bank vault. Closed, nothing in, nothing out. All those things that used to just kind of come to our mind, we can't remember. And a few hours later, we're driving in the car and we remember this and remember that. How could we have forgotten that? Well, the part where that's kept was closed. So the very first thing we want to know is, pull out your tomahawk in the time of stress. Use this. I use this every day. Not going there today. I'm going to stay in creation, and that's the secret. I'm going to use my mind intentionally to do something different, because we cannot get past the stress if we just try to stop going there. It'll never happen. What we want to do is instead replace it with another exercise. Mental rehearsal, exploration, inspiration, planning, goal setting. I just shared a story and inspiration. Matter of fact, I should probably just go to that first and share it with you, because this is an example of something that you could do to get out of stress. This was shared with me Saturday. I was speaking at a health seminar on detoxing your body and your mind and your finances. And just before I got up to speak, Jolene Wandergem, who was conducting this event, introduced me by way of this story. And just think about, if you're under stress, and what do? She started her day that day with, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. So she's in the grocery store picking up all of the supplies for this convention under a lot of stress. She's got deadlines to meet. She's got invitations that need to be sent. She's got a poster she needs to pick up. She's got all the pieces to put together. It's like, ah! Now, some might say, well, that stress pales in comparison to mine. It's all relative. Whatever gets these things moving are our cortisol or fear dendrites. Interesting story. I just felt impressed to share it with you. I call it soup, mix, and service. I just put this in the book this morning. Yeah, just this morning. I was recently invited to speak at a conference focused on detoxing our body, finances, and mind. Jolene Wandergem, the facilitator of the event, who is a health coach and a coaching client of mine, introduced me with this story. She shared that while at the grocery store purchasing some of the food items for the event, she noticed a young couple. Now imagine, when we're in stress, we're focused on us. We're focused on our challenges, our frustrations. She was focused outwardly, and she noticed this young couple. They were filling their shopping cart with a dry soup mix product. Anybody want to guess what it was? The brand name of which I will not mention. I knew the brand well, knowing my son and daughter-in-law ate a lot of this same soup mix while Danny was in graduate school. Jolene said that she watched as the young man put one box at a time in the cart while the young woman tallied the total. Jolene also noticed the two were not well kept, a clear sign of distress in their lives. Quote, now remember, when you're over here in stress and preoccupied with your stuff, this won't happen. She said, in the past, I would have overlooked this scene. Might have been preoccupied or even been judgmental. But instead, I saw the need. How or what could I do to serve? She whispered under her breath. Jolene had adopted this process of starting the day by asking, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Remember, not going there today. I'm going to stay focused on others. She was a health coach. Think about your life. What are your specialties? What do you know? What experiences have you had? She was a health coach. She knew what was healthy and what was not. This carb-intensive meal, nearly void of nutrition, was unhealthy. especially if used as the staple of a person's diet. She shared that she followed this young couple to the service, self-service checkout. At first, she was nervous and even a little afraid. She did not want to offend, but she wanted to serve. Finally, she courageously struck up a conversation. What she discovered was heartrending. Now, out of respect, I did not share what she discovered. In the end, she shared with the couple that she had been inspired to pay for their groceries. It wasn't a lot, just a few dollars, and asked for permission to do so. They hesitated, but agreed. Before doing so, she took them to the produce section and helped them select several healthy food choices that would add great value to their diet. She then paid the bill, wished them the very best, and went and sent them on their way. Jolene connected, served, created value, and contributed to the world. I was so deeply moved. I'm supposed to speak after this, I'm thinking. What could I say? Everything that needed to be said that day had been spoken so beautifully by this single act of kindness. This is how we deal our stress. We stay in creation, either mentally rehearsing one of our challenges, finding solutions, problem solving, exploration, seeking inspiration to serve another throughout the day. Consciously seek inspiration. That's this section of the book, which I call light, because that's dark over there. If a name comes into your mind, call them. If you see someone and are impressed to serve, do so. If you are inspired to take action, a certain action, take it. Each time you take action, and the authenticity, this is another key to stress, the authenticity of the inspiration is validated. Your trust in receiving future inspiration will grow. Let inspiration brighten the world. Always remember, abundance is not something we win. Abundance is not something we seek to receive. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. I could add to this that when the authenticity is validated and we trust, we know. And we know that we're known. We trust and are trusted. Why would we stress if we knew that? What would be so big that would create that challenge? What could we change in our lives to eliminate that? What actions could we take? We start to become more proactive in those moments instead of swamped in them. When we take action, we get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. They ignite our passion. When we take the action, they validate the authenticity of the inspiration. I do hope person asked that question is hearing what I'm saying, truly hearing that when we pay that price, we know and are known, trust and are trusted. How could we ever feel stress when we know this in our souls? Something to consider. Now, as we start to go out into this part called physical creation, what we know is that I'm just scrolling down to this other part of the book that I want to share with you tonight. Here we go. What we know is that the creation of anything, and quite often stress is created when our life is not showing up the way our mind has seen it. Sometimes life circumstances are just awful. We're on the edge. We're in a firestorm. The question is, how are we going to handle the firestorm? Are we going to let it destroy us, or are we going to rise above it and stay in creation, knowing that when we get an idea and act on it, if we had not done so, we would have robbed ourselves of that opportunity. This is just a great thing to know. we don't let go of stress. We replace it with something far more magnificent. I want to share the story with you, if I may. I think there may be some secrets in here as well. I call it living passion-driven. I was sitting here. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's actually Wednesday morning last week. And I wanted so badly to communicate something to all of you who are going to be reading the book. And it dawned on me I was right in the middle of one. So I started writing. By the end of the week, it was in the book. Here it goes. For 4 years, writing nearly every morning from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., I poured my energy into the pages of this book. 4 major rewrites, each a little more pithy and cogent, transparent and vulnerable. I was driven by a burning desire to share the principles, practices, and processes needed to intentionally create success. And I'll tell you, the stress that people are under is one of the primary drivers. I had seen much of pain in the lives of those without these principles. Lives, families, and businesses being destroyed unnecessarily. Time was of the essence. However, over the years, it always seemed like the clock ticked faster than my ability to adequately communicate. It was Sunday night, 10:30 p.m., January 8, 2012. I just returned the previous evening from Kevin Hall's three-day Genshai Life Mastery Retreat in Coronado, California. I had the privilege of being the kickoff speaker Saturday morning. What an honor to share the platform with so many amazing human beings. Sunday had been a very busy day, and I was feeling alive but exhausted. The layout of the book was in its final proofread before going to print. As I lay in bed, I began mentally rehearsing the experience a reader might have while studying these pages. Suddenly, I was struck by an overwhelming and inspired impression. I need to trim 70 pages. There was simply too much information, a veritable fire hose. I tried to shut off my mind and go to sleep. Here's a key. But my passion had been ignited, and with it a surge of energy that was not about to be ignored. You see, when we don't go into discouragement, we stay in creation. This is what happens. Get excited. I got up and came into my office, turned on the computer, and began to ponder, read, and write, intellectualizing the all-too-familiar process that was about to unfold would be of little value. This was not about theory or conjecture. There is no shortcut for action. It was about surrendering doubt and fear, resistance and rebellion. When we're in stress, those are really present, aren't they? Being submissive, fully present in the now, boots on the ground, totally focused, down in the trenches, doing the work of creation. The overall mission was clear. Cut 70 pages without taking out anything that was mission critical. Think about the challenge you're facing. How difficult is it? Relationship, finances, business? The details of how to execute the mission, this is key for you, would come in time, but only if I was fully engaged in the work, doing whatever was necessary to create an intangible reality, that which I saw so clearly in my mind. Now, that wasn't the answer in my mind, it was the need for. It could be a mortgage issue, it could be a business issue, it could be a relationship issue, same thing. Passion ignited by an impression that was facilitated, here's the next key, by a desire to impact lives for good. When we're in stress, we're often thinking about ourselves. Provided a deep and sustaining energy source. So we want to be focused outward. The hours tick by without notice. By the time the sun was ready to rise, the way to approach this challenge was getting clearer, and I was getting increasingly excited. However, it was time to stop down and prepare for a full day of coaching. I sent a quick email to the team. Hold the presses. At 6:30 p.m., I returned. It was about 1 a.m. the next morning when I reached the limits of my physical strength. I was on the edge of exhaustion, starting to feel a little lost. This was Monday night, Tuesday morning. I had paid the price. I had done all that I could do. And when you get to this point and you know it, this next sentence makes more sense. I knew it, and the power greater than me also knew it. Suddenly, my mind started replaying an inspiring event that occurred the previous weekend while in California on the topic of forgiveness. That section's now in the book, too. Sometimes our mind is swimming when someone's offended us and we can't let it go. I've got a whole section now to help you do that. I discussed this important topic numerous times with coaching clients, but never in the book. The impression reignited my passion, creating a new surge of energy that sustained my efforts for several more hours. While typing, I kept pausing and thinking, how could I have missed this? Then the sweet thought came, you didn't. It was now Thursday night, actually early Friday morning when I wrapped up the mission. Not only had I cut 70 pages while saving critical concepts, I had added crucial missing pieces. I sat back and reflected on what might not have been, and then rejoiced in what is. I found myself expressing gratitude for the principles that support mental creation, especially mental rehearsal. I was humbled by the numerous ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges that had been manifest over the previous 5 nights, and how these inspirations continued to ignite my passion and drive my focus, discipline, effort, and action. I marveled at the energy that passion provides, allowing a person to push past limits of human endurance. Lastly, my heart was filled with joy. This is what it feels like when we fully engage in life, when we are living in a miracle. Earlier in the book, I talked about this, that miracles only look like miracles in retrospect. We never know when we're in the middle of one till it's done, and then we look back and go, wow. And no matter what stress we're in, we're very likely right in the middle of a miracle. This time. And fully, excuse me, I have taken you into this very private experience to explore several keys to passion-driven physical creation. In my coaching, I am connecting with more and more clients who have in the past created amazing businesses while being passion-driven. This may be the message for someone tonight. However, the current economy has eroded the foundation of their businesses. Many are starting over, at least it feels that way. This time, and fully aware of the sacrifices that will be required, they're looking up at their new dream while at the same time focusing on all the work that will need to be done. They're experiencing significant levels of overwhelm. I often hear, I'm not sure I can do that again, end quote. They can't. They can't if they're not passion-driven. It was only because of their passion that they built it last time. Whether they have done it once or need to do it again, a person wants to discover how to do this for the first time. Here are the keys in one place on one page. Here we go. First, we will never engage in life at this level if our secret desire is ease. A life free from stress, debt, pain, and frustration. That's principle number one. We will go through the motions, put in the time, even be busy, but never truly engaged with the sole and focused purpose of creating results. So let's go to these. Second, solutions and solutions to challenges is predicated, the manifestation is predicated, on the purity of our secret desires and real intentions. If our desire is to connect with and serve others, create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet, and enrich the world, our requests, our cry, will be granted. It will be freely given just for the asking. I hear this all the time. Just, I'm worthy to receive. What are we going to receive? We receive inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. And then only freely given if our secret desire is to engage, embrace principles, connect and serve, create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet, and enrich the world. Then it's freely given. They're just freely given. And just for the asking. Third, when we receive these answers, they will ignite our passion, which will drive our actions. We will gladly and willingly do the work of creation without counting the costs or tracking the time. It's no longer about boring, mundane, repetitious, hard work. It is no longer about have to, should, or must. We are mission, vision, and passion driven. We want to get to and choose to. We command and we obey our own command. This is how we will want to live. We may want to get more sleep on occasion, but to be and feel this alive is priceless. I want you to hear Ogg's words on this topic. You've read these before, but let them speak to you differently tonight. Ogg speaks of days like these. He writes, "This day, I will make the best day of my life. This day, I will drink every minute to its full. I will savor its taste and give thanks. I will make every hour count. Every minute I will trade only for something of value. I will labor harder than ever before and push my muscles until they cry for relief. And then I will continue. I will make more calls than ever before. I'll sell more goods than ever before. I'll earn more gold than ever before. Every minute of today, every minute, will be more fruitful than the hours of yesterday. My last must be my best. I will live this day as if it is my last." This will be one of the scrolls you'll be studying this week with your homework assignment. We often hear, what is your why? If your why is tangled and mired in fantasy, your vision can never be big enough to ignite your passion. We cannot desire to skip the work of creation and expect answers. They will never come. We'll instead want to begin this journey with a deep and abiding desire to live a life of significance, make a footprint on this planet that matters. Be as Gandhi said, the change we want to see in the world. This may not be our last day on this planet, but this will be our last time to live this day. May we choose to live it passion-driven. That really sums up using our mind constructively and getting down to the nuts and bolts. I can tell you that I struggled with this one a bit. I wrote a poem about this a few years ago, 2003, I believe it was when I wrote it. In Scroll 9, which we'll also be studying this week, we're going to study Scroll 5 in the morning, Scroll 9 at noon, Scroll 7 at night. 5 is, I'll live this day as if it is my last. We begin the day. At noon, I will act now to keep us engaged. Just before we go to sleep, Scroll 7, I'll laugh at the world just to put everything in perspective. In Ogg's scroll, he talks about, for now is all I have. Tomorrow is the day reserved for the labor of the lazy. Right, L for lazy. I'm not lazy. Tomorrow's the day when the evil, right, an E for evil, become good. I'm not evil. Tomorrow's the day when the weak, right, a W, become strong. I'm not weak. Tomorrow's the day when the failure, right, an F, will succeed. I'm not a failure. I will act now. I wrote those was reading that night. I wrote this. L-E-W-F, loof. I thought it was kind of funny. Don't be aloof. Don't be aloof. What does that mean, don't be aloof? This is what came out. I'm not lazy, the loof said with a smile. It's all figured out. Got it filed in my file. I'll spend all today relaxing, I'll bet. I'll be rested and ready tomorrow to sweat. Me evil, the loof said with a grin. How could you utter such nonsense, such sin? Wait till tomorrow, as idle minds would. I'll be out of my system. Tomorrow's for good. Ah, so my productivity's down a little this month and last month, last year. Haven't you had a slump? Weak, the loof questioned. You insult me today. I can choose to be strong. Is tomorrow okay? Success is the banner that hangs over my chair. I see it, I read it, I shout in the air. Can nobody hear me? I mean it this time. A failure? No! Tomorrow's success will be mine. And so we hear such repetitive oration from loofs who love procrastination. But everyone knows the price they will pay. For when tomorrow is here, it will still be today. This is the now. 10 minutes from now, it'll still be now. 10 years from now, it'll still be now. The now, right now, is the only time we get to touch the timeline of our life. Right now. And what's sad, me included, our minds are often somewhere else. But Og is trying to share with us in the scrolls that when our mind and our body are wedded in the same place, in the now, we can begin the process of intentionally creating our dreams in this world we call the tangible, something we can touch, tangible reality. Let's talk a minute about procrastination. Procrastination is when we have a task to do. I want you to just picture it out in front of you, about 15 feet out there. This real big ugly task, something here you really don't want to do. You might be afraid that you don't have enough time or energy or expertise, whatever it might be, just putting it off. And it's screaming. But the noise in our head, the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, it's actually screaming louder than the task. Now, let's take one step closer to the task. It's getting closer. And then another step. And then another step. And pretty soon we're really close, and it's screaming so loudly, it's finally screaming louder than the noise in our heads. So what do? Most of the time, we shut off the noise in our head, and we jump in, and we do the task. What almost always happens? What are some of the thoughts that we have? Just shout them out, even though we might be on mute. Yeah. Wow. Why did I wait so long? Wow. That wasn't so hard. Wow. Why was I so worried? What just happened? Sure, we shut off the noise and jumped in and we got the task done. But what happened? What made this possible? What made it easier than we thought it would be? It's a very simple answer, and it might be the greatest gift I give you tonight. When we shut off the noise of doubt and fear and fantasy and confusion, and I jump in, I, the real me, real, genuine, owning my genus, my genius, authentic, acting on my own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason, because I want to, get to, and choose to, I, the real me, shows up. It wasn't so hard. That's the real me. You've all met yourself. You've met the power that is you, the magnificence that's you. Every time you procrastinate, reach a deadline, jump in and have that experience, you just met yourself. The question tonight is this, is how long have you played this game? Delay, 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 jump in, surprise. Delay, 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 jump in, surprise. Because tonight's the night we want to stop this. We want to heal our self-esteem, which we're coming to in just about 3 weeks. And one of the greatest ways we can heal self-esteem is to stop procrastination, to jump in and meet ourselves. Og says it this way: my procrastination, which was born of fear, this has held me back. He says, I've learned this lesson. He's going to tell us what the lesson is in a moment. I've learned this lesson. Mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. Core meaning blood or heart. Heart of hearts. The depths of the heart of hearts. If we could go inside a courageous soul, into their heart, and mind the very depths of it, what we would find every time is the same thing. That to conquer fear, I must act without hesitation. Now I know that to overcome this fear, I act, and it will turn this lion of terror into an ant of equanimity, which means peace of mind. Action will turn that lion of terror to an ant of equanimity. What Og did not go through at that point was explain why. Now we know why. Because when we finally jump in, our magnificent self jumps in. And we get to meet ourselves. There's a sense of accomplishment, a sense of intrinsic goodness that turns that lion of terror into an ant of equanimity. An ant has the capacity of carrying many times its weight. An ant capable, so capable, and having peace of mind. So let's get past our procrastination. Let's make a list of some of those big uglies we've got. Let's take them on this week, okay? Now lastly, how do we do this? 2003, I'm sitting in my living room on a Sunday afternoon reading from Og's Scrolls. Just having a great experience. Reading from scroll number 4, where I will focus all of my attention on the task at hand, and I'll forget all else. Where I have my mind and my body wedded together, this paradox. You know, having those together. And I was pondering the fact that seldom is my mind and body in the same place. And I wanted to figure out how to resolve this. You see, self-improvement isn't about just coming to a coaching session and hearing some fun principles. It's actually in the moment making a choice to do it differently. That's the secret. What happens here might inspire you, but to learn and not do is to not learn. So we actually apply. I wanted an application, a process I could actually do on a daily basis to bring my mind and body together. And as I sat there in that chair, what came to me was a concept I'm going to share with you as your homework assignment. It's very simple. In the morning, I want you to wake up and read scroll 5. Or greet this day as if it is my last. Or live this day as if it is my last. Just get grounded. Now be prepared. The thought processes we're going to talk about next week are going to be telling you don't have time, you're running late, you got too many things to do. You're going to hear them all. It's okay. You'll hear them. Read it anyway. Then pick 3 things of importance. 3 really important things that are going to happen that day. And decide that when those events come, you're going to show up in all of your power. The real you, real and genuine and authentic. Listening, connecting. No circus. You're not bringing other things, just you. That's the power in this moment. So we call them power sessions. Now, we want to own tomorrow. Own it. This is Wednesday. Is it the 18th? Is that what it'll be tomorrow? The 18th of January. We're going to own January 18th. All of us together. We're going to own it. Now we're going to start preparing for that first power session, that time, that event that's coming where we totally want to be present. When it comes, We're going to really be present, mind, body, wedded together in the now, touching the timeline of our life, totally focused, listening, no agenda, no need to fix, no need to give advice. We're just going to listen. Step into someone's world. See what kind of a miracle we can create. So intentional. Then at noon, we want to read Scroll 9. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command and I will obey my own command. I will not delay to be betrothed to another and lost to me forever. This is the time. This is the place. This is it. That scroll will ignite your actions for the afternoon. Do the next power session. You're going to show up totally in that event. And do the third one. Remember, we're just going to own September 18th. At the end of the day, I want you to take a journal. It could be a spiral notebook. It could be a three-ring binder or a formal journal. Write down just a few notes about what happened in each one of those power sessions that might not have happened. Mind you, not been that conscious. Then read Scroll 7 and go to bed and sleep like a baby. That's tomorrow. We're going to own it. Now Thursday, I'm going to encourage you to do one power session. Same scrolls, 5, 9, and 7. Do just one. Make it spectacular. Not a circus act. Just you really showing up. Just one on Thursday. That's it. Just one. Friday, just one. Then I want you to own Saturday. Saturday, we often do things with friends and family. There'll be three important events coming up that day. Own Saturday. Put your heart and soul into three power sessions. Sunday, one. Tuesday, one. Monday, one. I'm sorry. Sunday, one. Monday, one. Tuesday, we are going to own. You're going to own it. I think it's the 24th of January. We're going to own it. I want you to come to this session on Tuesday night. In a place where you got up and you read Scroll 5, you picked those three things, you've executed now on two of them, I want you to make this coaching session next Tuesday night your third power session for the day. And come, pencil, paper, celebrating what you created during your power sessions and ready to meet the enemy. Systemic thought processes that are in resistance and resentment and rebellion. Thoughts that you have had to just fight all week long that don't want you to be structured or disciplined. And we will take them on in our power session with such intention that we can start to shift them in our lives. That's your homework assignment. So we're going to own tomorrow, Scroll 5, read it, pick three really important things, do the first one, Scroll 9 at noon, do the next two, journal, Scroll 7, sleep like a baby. Then Thursday, one power session, Friday, one power session, then Saturday, we're going to own it and do three. Take it on, own it. These could be fun things. You may not be at work. You might be at home with family. Really make this a fun day. Create something that you've just never done before. Sunday one, power session. Monday one, power session. Tuesday you're going to own. And this coaching session, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, is going to be your third power session. Now, I would like to ask you one more favor. When you have a power session and you create a miracle, send me a note. dave@augmandino.com. Let me celebrate with you. That would be a great gift you could give to me, to allow me to celebrate in your miracle. Because you'll create them. You'll create them and you'll know when you did. So share those with me. Well, that's our assignment for the week. Everybody ready? This could be a hard thing to do. I used to ask people to do 3 a day for a week. 3,500 plus coaching clients. I have 7 people. 7 who've done it. First week. 3 a day. So if anybody's going, can I do more than 3? Do 3 first. If 1's not enough, then do 2. If 2's not enough, then do 3 on those off days. That's okay. But just watch what happens. Because the first week I did this after I got the idea was one of the toughest. Toughest. Oh, my goodness. I got to meet the thought processes that wanted my mind out, wandering all over the place, undisciplined, unfettered, didn't want to be interrupted. And I was yanking it in and tying it to my body and being fully present in the now. It did not like this. Now it's a joy. 8 years later, this is where we live. This is a glorious place to live. In the now. We'll go to our minds intentionally to get instruction. Not going there today. Whew. Want clear vision. Light my passion. Drive the action. This is where you're going to want to live. We'll take this on. Have the very best week of your life. You could. You could create some miracles. We've had miracles. I won't tell you any of them, but create it. I'll make sure next week. I want you to have your own. Drop me an email. Let me know. And with your permission, just let me know whether or not I can share it, because I'd love to share one or two of them next week without mentioning names, but just share what happened. And then we'll go into these pesky thoughts that interrupt our ability to stay present in the now. Just check in with Ramona. Were there any other text messages? Okay, great. Well, everybody take this on. We're all set for the week. Thanks for joining us on the Tuesday night celebration of life. Be back with us next Tuesday as we take on discipline and structure and these rebellious, resistant, resentful thought processes. And until then, just have the very best week of your life. Thanks, everyone.